The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum from Accelerated Government Strategies, providing advisory consulting for innovative startups to help grow government revenue. Every week, Aileen and Gigi welcome Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives who are taking risks to engineer success and shape the future. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Now your hosts, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Our guest today is Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director of the President's Own United States Marine Band. Major Rockers is the first female assistant director, as well as the first female commissioned officer in the band. Major Rockers joined the President's Own United States Marine Band in May 1998 as a trumpeter. She was appointed assistant director and commissioned a first lieutenant in July of 2004. Major Rockers received her bachelor's degree in music management from the University of Evansville in Indiana and a master's degree in trumpet performance from Northwestern and a doctorate from the Peabody Conservatory of the Johns Hopkins University.
So Major Rockers, let's start with the band. Whenever I see or hear the name of the United States Marine Band, it's always called the President's Own. So why is that?
The band was founded in 1798 by an act of Congress, but Thomas Jefferson is credited for giving us that title. Early on, we played for his inauguration back in 1801, serenading him into the house, into the White House. And so that's where the title comes from.
So tell us a little bit about the band. How big is it? How often do you perform?
Well, our band is accumulated of about 160 people. There are 22 professional support staff, librarians, public affairs specialists that we are very fortunate to have in support of what we're doing, about 130 musicians, and five officers. There's the director, two assistant directors, an operations officer, and an executive assistant.
Your band will play all the inaugurations celebrations. So how do you prepare for it? I mean, you must be going from the crack of dawn till very late in the evening.
It's a very busy time for us. And we have done this for many years. And so we have a routine and not much changes from each every 4 years. But the Marine Band has a unique situation here in that we're the only band that provides basically the soundtrack for the inaugural ceremony, providing prelude music before the inauguration occurs, and then playing through the ceremony to include playing honors for the president, current president, and then once the president-elect is sworn in, we'll provide honors to that our current president then.
I also read a report in preparation for this that you even play at the balls in the evening. I mean, you're playing from literally before the transition happens, during the inauguration, you march in the parade, and then you play for the evening festivities.
Exactly. And some of the other premier bands participate in those evening balls as well. I believe this time there are three evening balls, and the President's Own will play for one of those, and two of the other service bands will provide music for the others. But it can be a long day. I remember my very first inauguration back in 2001 for President Bush, and the weather can impact how you're feeling through that long day as well. But it's still an exciting time.
So any special challenges that happen during any of the events? I mean, you've been doing it since 2001. Is there anything that just comes to mind as being one of those, wow?
One of the things we're always struggling with for this occasion is the weather, honestly. And as mundane as that may sound, if it's freezing, our instruments won't function. The valves on the brass instruments freeze up. The woodwinds become essentially unplayable. And in this particular inauguration, we may be facing rain, and that will affect the instruments as well. So the weather has a big impact on how we sound and what's coming out of our horns. We always record a backup soundtrack for every inauguration, just in case, so we are able to provide music no matter what.
You're not going to pull a Mariah Carey from New Year's Eve, though, will you?
We hope to be able to function in every way.
Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. So you were the first female assistant director and the first female commissioned officer in the band. And in fact, the first woman in the U.S. Marine Band auditioned about 45 years ago. So when you think about it, when I thought about it, that's not really that long ago. I always think about certain roles and which have been slow to open to women, like combat positions. But I guess I would have thought that maybe the band would have been a good place to accept women early. So what took so long?
You would think, but the same things were occurring in our college bands also back then. And really was Title IX that, reshaped and opened doors for everybody. The standing opinion was that women couldn't even audition for a position, but it was Lieutenant Colonel Harpum at the time who was open to the idea and was willing to hear a young woman named Ruth Johnson, really a fantastic horn player. She played French horn and quickly became the principal of the section once she got in the band. So clearly was capable of doing the job. But back then there was speculation about whether women had the endurance for it, if they could march, if they could withstand these grueling ceremonies. And through time, they just needed to be able to be afforded the opportunity so they could prove that we're the same.
So you've been in the band for almost 20 years now.
Yes.
What changes have you seen with regard to women in the band?
Well, our numbers continue to increase. We're now, I think, just over a third of the band. There are still sections within the band that we don't have females in, and mainly the low brass section, euphonium, trombone, and tuba. And it's just a matter of time until those things open up. I can remember as a young girl playing trumpet, sometimes you're teased in a way. I had so many medals and awards that other kids my age would tease me for maybe getting those from my brother or something like that, that I couldn't have earned that myself as a girl. Or you hear that girls can't really play trumpet, or that there's something unique about you on this instrument that otherwise shouldn't be that way. And for that, it goes into your psyche, and I think eventually wears some women down. You get tired of being different or an anomaly. And so for those women who really love what they do, it takes a certain type of fortitude to push through. And that will happen in those other sections eventually. It happened. There's a woman, Principal Tuba with Philadelphia Orchestra, is a woman.
My son plays low brass, and even in his high school, there's very few girls that are playing that. Now, how can we get, when you look at music and STEM careers, math seem to really correlate. Mm-hmm. So how do we get girls more interested in music, in particular, some of the instruments like the low brass section?
Well, as I'm sure you all will agree, it's so important to have role models, and young kids follow what they see. There have been cases as a conductor, Elizabeth Schultz, who was a conductor of Maryland Symphony, or is the conductor of Maryland Symphony. I'm not sure if she's still there. She has made such an impact in that role that young kids have been known to say, I think her board of directors had a young girl. And when she first saw a man walk onto the podium, a male conductor, she thought, men can conduct too? And I think that's so revealing of what ideas get lodged into a child's brain that determines their course in life. And they just simply need to see more women doing it.
Today in the studio, we are talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director of the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. Coming up, we'll hear about Major Rocker's early years. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today on the show, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. So, Major Rockers, tell us a little bit about your background. I read that you were the youngest of 11 children. Wow.
That's true. There were a lot of us around. And we all played a musical instrument, even though my parents weren't musically inclined. I think it was a way for my mom to keep track of where we all were in the house and that we were doing something productive. But I actually started on piano at age 5, and my sister was a band director, and she was my first music educator, Carol Shannon Hyde, she's now called.
So did you have a family band?
We actually did, but we didn't play in public. It was only for our own fun, and it was very short-lived, just because we were all doing so many different things. And there's quite an age difference between us. Me and the oldest, there was 20 years between us. So by the time I came on the scene, some of my siblings had moved away.
Well, so it's like the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
So you chose to play an instrument that traditionally isn't, you know, played by women. We talked a little bit before about the lack of girls, adopting the idea of playing, especially in the low brass section. Now you're playing the trumpet. And what made you choose the trumpet out of all instruments?
Honestly, I think it was because there were many trumpets around the house. 4 of my brothers played trumpet. And so one day while my parents were at Sunday Mass, they picked up the trumpet and I played a C scale, learned a C scale. So I had an aptitude for that instrument and I just stuck with it.
Now, your parents weren't in music, so what made you decide a career in music?
Well, my sister was my earliest teacher, and she could be a little pushy and demanding. There were high expectations for us, but I also feel that not just me, my other siblings as well, had a natural affinity towards this life, that we were skilled in this. And I just felt a connection with it early on and wanted to stick with it.
Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. So what was your first job once you graduated from college? Did you go directly into playing professionally?
Well, I had a little bit of a unique background in that when I started my undergraduate degree in Evansville, University of Evansville, I was able to get into I auditioned and won a position with Evansville Philharmonic, and I also won a position with Owensboro Symphony. So during that time, I was in a sense working my way through college while my parents were still supporting me, but I had the luxury of learning all this orchestral rep. So every weekend I was doing a concert almost. And it's such a unique experience to get that wealth of information at that age. So in addition to doing my concerts and the usual things I was doing as part of my degree, I was getting a lot of professional experience that I then could take to my master's. Immediately following my undergrad, I went on to Northwestern University and studied with a top educator on trumpet, Vincent Chickowitz, who's now passed. But I just had good fortune of studying with some really great instructors.
So what advice would you give to young people starting out who want a career in music? I mean, we always hear how incredibly competitive that field is and how hard it is to get a job.
Well, I would say you have to be willing and dedicated to hours of alone time. You really spend a lot of time by yourself in analyzing what you're producing. It's not just about playing an instrument and putting time in. It has to be really thoughtful practice. If you're doing something productive, what's the theme? 10,000 hours to learn something, to really be an expert at something. But it has to be 10,000 quality hours. And you can be in a room for an hour and kind of goofing around and playing. And that might be beneficial as a youngster, but there gets to a point when you're really considering it as a career, you need to ask yourself those tough questions about really what kind of quality am I putting into my practice and where will that get me? There are people that are during their undergrad years were perceived to not really have the potential to go somewhere. But it was there. Only they themselves know inside if they're going to have the persistence to stick it out through the hard times. And there will be hard times. And you have to trust yourself and listen to yourself to either know that you will go forward and you will make it and you've got that kind of determination, or maybe consider something else if you really don't have the passion for it.
Major Rockers, talk about passion and persistence. You played with several orchestras in the Midwest before joining the Marine Band, mm-hmm. U.S. Marine Band. Why did you decide to take on yet another challenge and become one of the only females in the Marine Band?
Well, this goes back to my education at Evansville. The professors at that university, several of them had spent time in these premier military bands, and so I knew the quality of this. And it was a step I wanted to take and experience. I knew it would be good for me. Now, many of us who do that end up thinking, well, then I'm going to win a job with New York Phil. Sometimes, obviously those positions are extremely limited. But getting into a job like the Marine Band, the president's own Marine Band, is for many a place that they decide to stay. And it's a satisfying career.
Now, did you have to go through basic training? Could it possibly happen that you're forward deployed? What is the Marine side of the role of being in the U.S. Marine Corps Band?
That's a very good question, because the Marine Corps will say every Marine's a rifleman. We're a little bit of an outlier there and quite unique. The way the band was founded back in 1798 was that we were enlisted as musicians. So the way it works today, we advertise to find musicians like any major symphony orchestra would in our trade paper, international musician. And so, and it's an open audition. Anybody's welcome to come. But it's a screened audition. So we, through a process of usually 2 days, we'll select a musician. Once we offer them the position, once they accept, they have to go through an interview round, and they have to be screened to be able to get the security clearance that's required of them and all the other health issues that go along with joining the military. But we are exempt from combat training because we're hiring people who are specialists on their instrument, and we have no secondary duty such as combat.
And
so we do not go through recruit training, is my point. So we are hired to do what we do. We are enlisted as musicians specifically.
So any physical fitness tests or anything?
We have to pass a weight requirement. So we need to look the part in our uniform. And it's a very athletic band, I would say. We're very active and try to maintain our physical fitness. But we also, our main objective is to provide music. And our mission actually is to provide music for the president and the commandant.
Well, physically, just doing as much marching and playing an instrument at the same time, I would have to say you have to be athletes.
Well, those can be some grueling ceremonies sometimes that you want to be physically prepared for. So, yes.
So you became the assistant director of the band in 2004, and you were the first female assistant director. So, first of all, that's quite an honor. But tell us how it came to be. I mean, it must be a pretty competitive process to rise to the level of assistant director.
Yes, we'll have auditions. The position is open to anyone within the Marine Corps. But it obviously, because you need to be a trained musician, it's the field is a little bit focused into being coming from within our own band and or the other field bands that are in the Marine Corps. In addition to the president's own, there is the commandant's own, the drum and bugle corps, and there are 10 additional field bands. Now, we can draw and from the conductors in those field bands as well. But our history has been that the director has come from the president's own. For me, it was an audition process. I had started getting a lot of conducting opportunities when I got into the band, conducting chamber programs, mostly brass and percussion. And it's through that experience that I really discovered my own passion for this craft of conducting. It's a funny little thing. I realized then when the opportunity was open to take an audition as conductor, there was a lot of pressure. It's a little awkward because you're coming out of your peer group to then lead them and, you know, become their leader. So that can be a little awkward to work around. But in terms of being able to hone my craft with such a fine group of musicians, it's a really unique opportunity that I've been very grateful and fortunate to have.
So I heard in an interview that Ruth Johnson, and you mentioned her name before, she was the first woman to audition and join the U.S. Marine Band. She said that she didn't want to be a first. She had hoped that somebody would have gone before her. So how do you feel about being a first?
I have said the exact same thing. It's, I think, a much easier road to go down when somebody's paved it for you. Not that my path has been necessarily difficult or challenging externally. They've been mostly internal challenges. And as we, you know, studies show, and I did a lot of research on this myself for my doctorate to look into what are the barriers facing a female conductor, particularly in the orchestral field, since there are so few with our major symphonies, or even getting guest conducting opportunities. And I think our cultural conditioning plays into that a lot, and into my own self-doubt and how willing I am to just embrace the challenges and put myself out there. It's easier to kind of let somebody else do that or feel that they're better equipped for that job. And so for me, the internal challenges of saying, no, you really have a talent for this and you deserve to be up there as much as anybody else. Seeing women in that role, it's I can't even describe how valuable that is and how much it means. And so a case like Maren Alsop taking the role as a director, music director for Baltimore Symphony, she herself, we all have this cultural conditioning in us, men and women alike. She states a time when she walked onto an airplane and she looked into the cockpit and saw two female pilots. And she kind of freaked out, like, oh, I got to get off this plane, because she questioned, how good with the quality of the driving they might provide. It's just in us. It's around us. It's in the air we breathe, and we can't always see it, or it's not tangible. But somehow that gets into our thinking, and it's guiding our decision making.
It is one of the classic glass ceilings. I mean, what percent of the major symphonies have female conductors?
Oh, I should know this, but I don't have an exact number. She's the first and only right now in the United States. There is Joanne Folletta, who conducts Virginia and Buffalo. Also a phenomenal conductor, travels all over the world guest conducting, but that is still the debate. It takes women such a long time to get those opportunities. I will share myself. I've had my own discriminatory moment as a trumpet player. I went down to Key West Symphony. I was freelancing. Sabrina Alfonso, a very, very impassioned, great conductor. Something was, even though I had a band director in my early education that was female, my own sister, when I got into the professional world, it was different to see a woman on the podium. And there was something in myself, and I didn't say this to anybody at the time, but there was something about my thinking about her that I didn't consider her to be a valid conductor. And my point is, we're all making these decisions and we don't really know where it's coming from. So I had to get through that and process. I was aware of that in my thinking, because as a trumpet player in a section, you're faced with that, you know, the situation of being maybe the only woman in the section, and it might be a large section. But to think that way about a conductor, I had to figure that out. And I, you know, so it goes into, you know, Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In book, and really kind of studying some of those things about how women are perceived, our communication styles. I do believe that women have to work a lot harder at thinking about how their style of communication and how they're coming across and how they're being perceived. Is it fair? No, but that's the reality. And we need to talk about it more and more, so that I think this should be in our conservatories, that when we're training conductors, we need to also discuss this in front of the orchestra or in front of the band, so all the men and women are exposed to this line of thinking.
They say that that's the way that you help to get over unconscious bias, is to bring it forward and make you make people conscious about it and conscious of the fact that it's going on.
Yeah. And a lot of people may doubt it initially, but it's out there for the for them to think about.
Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. Coming up, we'll talk about music education. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Corps Band. Major Rockers, I read that in addition to performing, you have a special passion about music education. Music is one of those areas, as we talked about earlier, that often gets cut from school budgets and money is tight. Why is education, especially music education, for you such a passion?
Well, it's so important to our professional lives as in sustaining this as a profession, for one, for an obvious answer. But it's also so important to our culture. Take this, the inauguration, for example. Without music, it would be so stale and dry. Music provides so much life to an event. One of the first things you can do to change your mood is listen to a piece that's either sad or makes you happy and instantly makes an impact on your life somehow. Music has some sort of unreal power over us, and so it provides such an impact to any event. Now, education, that's really where it begins to explain some of this, how it alters your mind for young kids to feel that and be able to have access to that if they want to experience themselves making music, or if they just want to enjoy it and appreciate and develop an appreciation for all kinds of music. But they're really, I do appreciate so many styles, and every style that's out there, it's a universal language. Some would argue that point. There are certain tribes in Africa that that end up not being able to understand the kind of music we make. But it is largely a universal language for us, and we can provide so much life to any event. And having access to educational opportunities and sharing that with kids at a young age through high school, sort of helping them expand that part of their world, it's a privilege to be able to do that.
As I mentioned before, my son goes to a local high school, Bishop O'Connell. They have a great music program. And I've also noticed the kids that are in the music program are also many of the kids that are in honors math. Do you see a connection between music and achievement in academic areas?
This isn't my area of expertise, but there has been a lot of material that'll say there's a strong connection with that kind of thinking, working with numbers and logic. I myself was, you know, very good with the math side of things, more so than the language side of things, as I went through high school.
So it should be something that we should push for music education, not only because it's the universal language, but it also helps us grow STEM graduates.
Right. It really does. It helps us to focus. It gives us an outlet of sorts that people would all. I also say sports are, you know, being athletic, using your body is also important. So I relate them to be equally important.
So let's shift gears a little bit here. I know that being the youngest in a very large family, you probably got lots of advice growing up. But let's talk about mentorship. How about since then? Have you had mentors in your professional career?
This has been a difficult area for me, one I still struggle with, finding that person who can be my mentor. I think that is invaluable, and I strive to be that for people when I have the opportunity. But I also feel that I need to seek out the opportunity, and especially for women, I feel sometimes that I'm, you know, I don't want to push myself on them, but I feel there's a need to reassure them that I'm there for them. For myself, it's been very difficult to reach out for that kind of help. And I still struggle with that, I'll admit.
So is there a piece of advice that you find yourself giving as you are talking to young women especially, or even young men, but is there a sort of a piece of advice that you find yourself repeating over and over?
Yeah, if they have the desire to do something, even if it's just a small crack of sunlight in a thought that they had, I encourage them to just go for it and don't hold themselves back. We hold ourselves back, I think, more than anybody else. And that's coming from my own experience. And I would just encourage them to not doubt themselves and not be so self-critical. Just let themselves try and experience something and fail. It's okay. Everything's okay.
Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Corps Band. So you've had the opportunity to travel all over the world with the Marine Corps Band and done quite a bit of guest conducting and with other bands and orchestras. Which do you prefer, playing, conducting, or teaching?
I would have to say at this point, conducting. It's been a true passion of mine, and there's something about it. That opportunity to connect. It's the connection that I feel that I strive for with the musicians to try to develop a certain kind of energy in the room that will take us all to someplace different. And that's, you only reach that really special place a few times, maybe once in a 2-hour performance. But it's always something I'm striving for. And you can tell when it happens. It's like the energy, the air in the room changes. But it's really remarkable to get to that point. And it's a challenge for me as a conductor to always kind of take myself out of the equation and to try to craft something or be involved so much in the moment, every moment of the music, that you're really able to create something special.
Now, you mentioned it's music is the universal language, and you have conducted in many different countries. So what has been your experience from difference of the United States versus maybe some of the countries you've had the opportunity to conduct?
I have had some unique opportunities in recent years, going to Finland and conducting their President's Own, so to speak, and then a couple military groups in Denmark, and then the youth brass band of Great Britain. Mostly it's been such a big learning experience for me, kind of seeing what's going on in those countries. In Denmark and Finland, particularly the brass players, I came from Northwestern, where the Chicago style of brass playing is something that has influenced all of these brass players. So we have this strong connection. And it's been interesting to work with them and see how similar our groups are and our priorities. So all that's showing me is how similar we are and getting to work with really great musicians.
So in researching for the show, I was really surprised by the wide variety, not only in the type of events that the band plays for, but also the wide variety of music types, from, you know, marches, which you expect, but to pop music, to orchestral music. So you mentioned that you like all genres, but do you have a personal favorite kind of genre of music?
Well, in addition to classical, I would say, I listen to pop. I love jazz. Artists like Nora Jones or Sarah Bareilles and things like that, I enjoy that kind of listening. Just as I'm going for a run maybe or something like that. But I think it's important to know a variety of styles and let that inform us of what's going on, for, in particular to relating it to education and reaching young kids, knowing what they're listening to. What are they into right now and why?
Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band. Coming up, we'll hear what Michelle likes to do when she's not working. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Tracy McRae. Palliative care versus hospice care. What's the difference?
Palliative care is for anyone that has been diagnosed with a chronic illness.
Mayo Clinic hospice nurse Margot Crotius explains palliative care focuses on the patient and family and their goals for living with disease long term. When things worsen, then hospice can take over.
When the patient gets to a point that chemotherapies, transplants, all of those things have not worked or are no longer going to work, then hospice team can step in because the hospice is more, according to Medicare, 6 months or less prognosis.
Nurse Crotius says that hospice, like palliative care, listens to the patient and allows the patient to self-determine how they want to live at the end of their life. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Corps Band.
So Major Rockers, you have spent your entire career making music from your undergraduate education to the present day. So this may be a tough question, but if you hadn't been a musician, what career do you think you would have chosen?
It's not that tough. Actually, after finishing my master's degree, I did take a couple of years off. Not a good time, and I'm sure my mother didn't appreciate that back in the day. But I did take a couple of years off to really question if this was the right direction for me. Some of that was related to being a woman on the trumpet, and some of that stuff that's out there about feelings that women can't do it. I was just doubting myself, and I took some time off. I just got a day job, and I was exploring the idea of going back to college, maybe getting into veterinary medicine. I love animals. It's always been an interest of mine. So relating that science and music relationship, I think, is there. But in the end, I was drawn back to music, and it's where my talents lie. And going that direction, and I think having a different approach to playing, maybe not being so hard on myself and critical, as I mentioned earlier, that's so many of us are too self-critical. So, I went back into music, and there was nothing else I could see myself doing.
Was there, when you were thinking about becoming a veterinarian, was there a moment in time that you remember that either something happened or you just, you know, had somebody said something or you had a thought that would just crystallize and said, you know what? No, I got to go back to music.
Well, the 6 years of medical school was not that appealing to me. And I was already at an age, you know, where it's time to go on. And I had the opportunities. I was winning the auditions. So I was successful at what I was doing. So I wasn't really aware that I would end up getting into conducting as I have. And I'm glad that worked out for me, but it was sort of fate that made that happen in a way.
Major, we've talked so much about your work. So do you have any free time? And if you do have free time, what do you do for hobbies?
Sure, I have free time. I love downhill skiing when I get the opportunity. It's a little hard to get away and do that out here. I love to run. I don't have any dogs right now, but I have had dogs, and I love animals. I don't live that exciting of a life. I love to go to concerts, so when I can grab a ticket, if I see something that I want to see, or go watch a rehearsal and see a great conductor rehearse the group, and that's a nice way for me to get oxygen and rejuvenate what I'm doing.
So we often talk to our guests about work-life balance, and all women have to multitask and handle a lot of different things, sometimes being the breadwinner and caregivers. And it's one of those struggles that women talk about because there just seems to be more demands on our time. So you've got a full life, right? Despite your indications that it's pretty boring, you manage to balance travel and a lot of different demands on your time. So how do you do it?
Well, I don't have children right now. I am married to someone in Denmark, and so it's a long distance relationship. And she has a young boy, so I do have a stepson. But here in Washington D.C., I don't have children that I'm having to take care of and shuttle to soccer practice or whatever the case is. So I do have.
You hear about bi-coastal relationships. That's a bi-continent relationship. So that's going to be difficult to manage.
It is challenging. And for that reason, I will choose to retire when I reach that 20-year point with the Marine Band. And I'll miss them. But it has been challenging to visit, these distances. And so part of my free time is spent learning Danish. Not an easy language, but easier than some, I suppose.
Major, I got to ask you, if you were to go back and see your younger self crossing the stage, what pieces of advice would you give her to help her be as successful today as you were in your lifetime?
Well, obviously, it's been a theme for me. I would tell that person to be less critical and just go for it. Shrug off, the judgment of what you're doing at the moment and just go for it. Do it.
Today in the studio, we've been talking with Major Michelle Rockers, Assistant Director, the President's Own U.S. Marine Band.
It's been a privilege and an honor to be here with both of you. Thank you so much.
I'm Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum, founders of Accelerated Government Strategies. Learn more about AGS and the work they do to help accelerate your business plans for public sector at excelgovstrat.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Women of Washington, Wednesday afternoons at 1 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.